Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And when you sign up for our free InvestTalk Insider program, you have instant access to a whole library of webinars, Breaking the Risk Barrier, Measuring and Managing Investment Risk, Doing Dividends Right, a 30-minute crash course in dividend investing. These and many more are yours free when you're an InvestTalk Insider, and anybody can join. Do it now on InvestTalk.com. And now, today's InvestTalk.
You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. We're here to help you. I'm here to try to help you make money. How to preserve it, how to grow it, how to invest it, how to save it. And of course, I preach time. Investing in time is just as important as investing your money. You have to invest some time. You have to spend time learning to improve your skills. We all need more information. You know, we all need to invest our time in trying to understand what's happening in the economy and in the stock market. Many times the stock market and the economy diverge. They don't both go in the same directions all the time. You got to understand why that happens. And you got to step back and take a look at it, from a distance, and try to divorce yourself from any emotional decision making about what's going on. And that really helps with your decision making on buying or selling things or holding things in your portfolio. And of course, it also helps to know a little bit about history, what goes on, what has happened in the past, and try to recognize any patterns you might see. Now, one of the ways we serve our listeners is by publishing our premium newsletter. We do that every Friday. We provide information on that, and it's an email, e-newsletter mail form. And the kinds of things I talk about in there, like the first section is the current market conditions. I mentioned there wasn't much economic numbers out this week, except for this morning when retail sales came out. And if you looked at the top line, the number of retail sales, you would say, it's not that good, up 0.2%, pretty much in line what was expected. But if you take out autos and gasoline, it was up 0.5. So why would I suggest that you take that out? Because it gives you a better sense of really what's happening with the consumers. What are they spending money on? So it's always interesting. And that's why I put in the newsletter. And then I talked about the lack of earnings in 2015 and what it's done to the price earnings ratio of the overall market. And actually the price earnings ratio has gone up while the stock prices haven't gone up. The earnings shrunk. We always wrap up the first section of the newsletter by what we're doing at KPP Financial. We don't give specifics. We just talk about in generalities. There's a couple stock ideas. There's a portfolio management section, and then portfolio management section. I mentioned that don't get hooked on one good factor of a stock, and that's all you can see. All stocks have good and bad, but if you've already made up your mind that you like this stock, you're already messed up because you've already decided. Why even do any more research? Okay, if you've already decided, you should go in with, I don't really care whether I own this stock or not. It has a good factor. Let me see if that all the other factors line up. And in the consumer watch, I talked about getting old. We're all getting old. And do you have enough money? We're getting older and more active in our retirement and in our old age. Do you have money enough to do that? So if you want to try the premium newsletter for a month, you can. It's risk-free. We offer money-back guarantees. You don't have to pay a thing if you don't like it. To go to investtalk.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and you can sign up. Now let's get to the Q&A program. Question and answer. What money matters are on your mind today? Maybe the market. Maybe you have questions calculating your money needs in retirement. I'll try to help. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name is Bill. I'm calling from Brick, New Jersey. I'm a podcast listener and daily. I had a question about the Treasury Direct. I've purchased bonds in the past through payroll deduction, but honestly, I never liked physically holding the bonds. I was wondering through the Treasury Direct if, is there sort of some account or when you purchase the bond, do they mail it to you? Look forward to listening to the program. Thank you and have a good day.
Okay, well, that's a good question. I don't think they mail it to you. I did this with Treasury Direct years and years and years ago. So I'm not sure what they do now, but back then they didn't mail you the bonds. The money came out of your account and they gave you a statement. Okay, meaning the Treasury Direct means you buy the U.S. government debt directly from the Treasury, directly from the government, not through a brokerage, and you get them for free that way. Well, mostly free. Again, I haven't done it so long. I'm worried about saying certain things. You get your interest. They put in the interest, and then they put the money back in your account at the maturity date of that bond when it matures. They send you a notice 30 days or so before it matures to see if you want to renew it or if you want to change the dates, you know, change the maturity length. And you can just mark off the box, yes, please mature, boom, and they do it. But you never got sent the bond from the Treasury Department, at least when I did it years ago. So I don't think they send you anything but a statement that you own such and such. It would make sense not to send you the bonds. Some market experts are of the opinion that the purpose of a mutual fund is questionable when it has over 10 to 15% exposure to a single stock. Focused funds, leaving too much to luck. Focused funds, when they have too much of one stock, we're going to give you some examples. That's going to be our main talking point today. Scary junk bonds. We talked about them yesterday, right? And I want to talk about them again. They were down 2% today. And I'm going to take a little different look at them. And I want to go into a little detail about retail sales that came out today. They were pretty strong. I felt pretty good about it. And I want to talk about gold and the Fed. Will the Fed raising rates or lowering rates impact gold? The popular belief is that Fed raising rates will cause the currency to go up, and that will cause gold prices to fall. I'm not buying it. Not buying it. And I got some evidence to prove that that may not happen. So we're going to talk about those things. Unless, of course, you want to call, we'll talk about something that's on your mind. Something that's more important than what I want to talk about. Because, you know, I do think what's more important is on your mind, not mine. You drive the show. You drive it with your questions. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278, because I would love to hear what's on your mind. So are we up or down for the year? Well, we're down. We're clearly down for the year. You know, there's no getting away from, you know, the end of the year. Last year, you know exactly what it was. Are we down? Yes. And, you know, we're not down a lot, but if you look at certain sectors, they're hugely down. Hugely down. So it depends on where you put your money. Where did you lean? What sectors or stocks did you lean on? You know, because I'm looking at a lot of portfolios, and there were some serious mistakes made mostly because of too much concentration on certain sectors that just got hammered. And if you own junk bonds, you're just getting squished. And Justin and I talked about it yesterday. We warned about junk bonds over a year ago in one of our seminars. You know, I think that same seminar, we did a webinar on it. And in that webinar, still you can see it on our website. We did it a year ago, plus sometime. Watch out for these junk bonds. They're not paying you enough money. And now the risk is horrendous. They've collapsed in the last month and a half, 2 months. We get many clients or listeners looking for help on real estate advice. Thank with you. Licensed real estate agent, financial advisor on staff. We can help our clients with any of those kinds of questions. Do you have a real estate question? Is it a house you can afford? Maybe you want to know. Maybe you want to downsize. I had a couple of clients do that recently. You can go, if you'd like to get a copy of Justin's info sheet on answering those questions, click on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
From the InvestTalk production crew and all of the staff at KPP Financial, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year. And thanks for being part of our InvestTalk family. From the InvestTalk production crew and all of the staff at KPP Financial, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year. And thanks for being part of our InvestTalk family. You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
Let's go to Ralph in Poway. How you doing, Ralph?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a very simple question. I've made my little pile of money. I'm 63 years old and about to retire. And what I want to do is I want to make sure that that pile of money doesn't disappear in 30 years. Okay. I want it to last me 30 years.
Okay.
Now, I need a plan to accomplish that, and I need your help.
Okay.
I'll listen to your answer.
You know, when you have a lump of money, and this is the money you need to protect, and you want it to produce income for you and for forever, basically, until you die, and that's what Ralph is talking about. I got this money, this pile of money. I need it to produce income. How can I do that? Well, the more income it produces means the more risk you're taking, meaning it can go down, too. There's some calculators out there called retirement calculators, and you can plug in how much interest you're making on that pile of money and how much it produces for you without ever running out. We have an income program at our KPP Financial Income. I tell people, expect 5 to 8% return, and you probably will never run out of money. Why do I say probably? Because there's no guarantee. The higher the yield, the more chances you take. But you can plug in 5-6% into the retirement calculator and figure that's about a pretty fairly conservative number. And if you invest it properly and not take too much risk, buy some bonds, hold them to maturity, buy some high dividend paying stock, you can produce that kind of money fairly consistently. Okay, and never run out of the principal. The principal never run out. So that's what you do, Ralph. You go to those retirement calculators, plug in some numbers, and they'll tell you how much money you have, $250,000. What interest rate do you want to plug in? Well, plug in 5%, and then you need to manage the money to give you that 5%. You can't do that with CDs or money market. That's not going to work. So anyways, and if you want to talk about it further, just give me a call at the office. I'll tell you all about how we do it. You know, I don't mind sharing that information.
Did you get your dose of Steve today? Steve Peasley's market commentary can't always put things right in the market, but it can put things into perspective. They're for you every morning on InvestTalk.com.
Mike and Santee, how you doing?
I wanted to get your opinion. My wife and I just had our first child about 20 days ago, and I am looking into some kind of college saving plan. I'm trying to weigh a 529, just like a regular investment account.
Okay, there's also what's called a Coverdell. Have you heard those yet?
No, I haven't.
There's what's called the Coverdell. They used to be called the Education IRA, but now they call them Coverdells. So there's the 529 and the Coverdells. Those are the two tax-deferred college saving plans that you have to choose from. Now let's go over the difference real fast. A 529 is sponsored by a particular state. You can go to any state. You can, from California, you can buy an Illinois 529 plan. You can buy a California 529 plan. And each state has its own 529 plan. The good thing about a 529 plan is you can put a lot of money away.
Uh-huh.
A lot. You know, if you make more and more money going forward, you can put more and more money away. The bad thing about a 529 plan, it can only be used for an accredited college.
Yep.
That's it. Now, a Coverdell, you can put up to like $3,500 a year. There's a maximum, okay? It changes every year, but I think it's $3,500, maybe $4,000 per year.
Okay.
The good thing about that is it's much more flexible. It doesn't have to go to college. Let's say when your little child gets, goes to elementary school, you want to send them to private school. Let's say you want to do that. Well, you can use that Coverdell for private schooling. You can also use it to buy a computer, books, other things for education, not just tuition.
Okay.
You see, so there's a little bit more flexible in the Coverdell, but you can't put as much money away.
Okay, well, those are the two options. I appreciate the input on that.
Good luck, Mike, and congratulations. Boy or girl?
Girl.
God, boy, that's what I wanted. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Call. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
From the InvestTalk production crew and all of the staff at KPP Financial, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year. And thanks for being part of our InvestTalk family. You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. You know, when you buy mutual funds, you think, you know, you're getting a good diversified fund. Well, be very careful. You really want to look at their top holdings and figure out how much they have in one. There are, I think, 13 or 14 funds out there that have more than 10% in one stock. The most famous example, recent famous example, is a mutual fund that held Valeant Pharmaceuticals. Remember Valeant? They're the ones who raised prices. They're the ones who had alleged incestuous relationship with pharmaceuticals, and well, you know, they did raise the prices, and their quote unquote incestuous relationship really wasn't as incestuous as they thought. And so the Sequoia Fund, who owned 30% of their portfolio, 30% was in one stock, and that was Valeant. And Valeant's a very solid company, great numbers. You look at the numbers, you're so excited. They look really good. And they are good. The stock still got crushed. Even when the company came out with why they did what they did, and it's perfectly legal and proper, maybe a little bit questionable, but not an issue, stock still fell more. And this fund, Sequoia, 30%, lost a huge amount of value in the mutual fund because of this. This is why you hear me telling people, look, you work for ExxonMobil or Chevron or Johnson & Johnson, and 30% of your value, your overall portfolio is in one stock. I don't care how good it is. That's very risky. Valeant, there was nothing wrong with the company. Nothing wrong with the numbers. Nothing wrong with their growth projections. All those were correct. And they still are correct. The stock got killed. You just never know. That's what the question is all about. Don't tie up all your wealth. I'll give you another example. Years ago, in late 1990s, 98, 99, Jerry Klein, founder of the company, and I were meeting with a number of Qualcomm employees who had stocks, and Qualcomm just took off. I mean, that is huge winners. It kind of reminds me of Tesla now. And we had secretaries and just office workers that were millionaires in Qualcomm stock, and we would constantly tell them, diversify away from Qualcomm. And you need to diversify away. If you became a client of ours, one of the first things we do is we cut that Qualcomm holding of yours well below 10%, more like 5% at the most. Never got one client from that. Now, what happened to the stock? Well, it got clobbered in 2000. So those people that were millionaires, well, now you had a couple hundred thousand dollars instead of millions. You know, $1 million down to $200,000. Qualcomm is still a great company. There's nothing wrong with the company. You do not over-concentrate. And this whole article of Talking Point is all about too much concentration in any one stock. And they list a bunch of mutual funds that are doing the exact same thing. That very same thing. So you might want to take a look at the article on our website. I think it's very, very apropos in this market. You know, what I've seen happen this year is people chasing yields, last couple of years they've been doing that. And a lot of those yields coming out of, you know, certain kinds of stocks, you know, which, you know, master MLPs and those kind of stocks. And you see a yield of, a dividend yield of 11%, 10%. That's a big red flag. That's not like, oh, good, look what I found. It's more like, what's wrong with this? How come? Why is it doing this? Big red flag. Those people invested heavily in junk bonds, all looking for yield. Look what's happened. I mean, in a month and a half, they've gone down, I don't know, 20, 30% in a month and a half. So that yield of 8, 9%, whatever it is you were getting on that junk bond, doesn't look so good anymore. I mean, if you look at junk bonds, they have been falling for, looking at the date, they've been falling since May 30th. And everybody was thinking, okay, well, they're going to stop falling. And then they accelerated their fall here in the last 4 or 5 days, faster. So it would not be a problem if it was a very small portion of your portfolio, right? You properly diversify. You don't like it, but it's not killing you. Well, a lot of people didn't diversify enough. They would hold 10%, 15%. And they would think, well, I diversify because I have five junk bonds, funds, five of them. So I'm diversifying over a number of them. No, they're still in the same asset class. You know, I want you to be careful out there. Be very, very careful. Be cautious. Time to be cautious. And too many people are just not being cautious. Proper diversification. Have some protections in, you know, in your portfolio. Don't just ignore it. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up on the next half hour, working hard to keep it simple. That's coming up on Invest Talk 101. Invest Talk 101. We'll be in the second half hour. 888-99-CHARGE, our anytime number. You can call me right now at 888-992-4278.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHARGE is how to get through right now. From the InvestTalk production crew and all of the staff at KPP Financial, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year. And thanks for being part of our InvestTalk family.
You're listening to an encore presentation of InvestTalk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Josh in San Francisco first. How are you doing, Josh?
I'm doing great. You know, the question I had was about variable annuities. My mother purchased one in her IRA.
Oh, that's terrible.
To take things back, she had a bad experience during the pullback in the stock market, never wanting to invest in the market again before. And because the annuity offered a guarantee, she was able to get back in the market. It was about 4 years ago. And the account's been doing great. And I know the costs are a little bit higher. My question is, what do you think about variable annuities? And without the guarantee, she would have probably stayed in savings or a fixed account.
Josh, that's what they do. They sell them to the older people because they need that safety net. But they also are very attracted to the growth prospects. And, you know, I don't want to badmouth annuities completely. There are places for them. First of all, to put an annuity, which is a tax-deferred instrument, inside a tax-deferred instrument of an IRA makes no sense to me at all. Because you're tax-deferred for the 7 or 10 years that the annuity lasts. You know, you have to keep it forever, a length of time.
Yeah.
Most of them are tax-deferred already. So why put, you know, you're not getting any tax benefit because you already have the tax benefit, number one. Number two, the structure is such that it's complex. These things are devised by insurance companies and very, very complex issues. The average person can't understand how to calculate their returns because they're so complex. The fees are very high. You know what? They're really good when the market is collapsing because you have that floor. That's very good. But the reason why they make you hold on to them for 10 years, because any 10-year period in the stock market has always been up. So the people issuing these annuities know that they're going to make the money off of you.
She's in a balanced account, and it's been averaging about 10% a year. So, I mean, she's a lot happier than if she would have stayed in a CD.
Well, that, you know, it's, if it's working for her and she likes it, I'm glad she's happy. How old is she?
62 years old.
Okay. She should not renew it because she's going to start needing that money. And some of them allow you to take out 10% a year, but she should not renew it in her IRA.
She only had a 3-year commitment with it.
That's very short. That's unusual. I've always seen them 7 to 10 years. The biggest problem is the getting out of annuity, because a lot of people need the money before the time, and they sell them to old people.
Oh, I see.
And a lot of times they need the money sometime during that 7 to 10 year period, and they can't get it without a nice stiff penalty. And then usually when they pull it out, not only do they have a stiff penalty, but they have to pay taxes on it at ordinary income tax level. And the argument there was, well, they're older, so they don't have a lot of taxes, so therefore they're going to be taxed at a low rate. Well, that's not as low as 15% capital gains tax. There's a lot of reasons not to like them, Josh. Be very careful, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Time for InvestTalk 101. The secret is simple. Keeping it simple in investing is a pretty smart idea. Steve Jobs said, remember Steve Jobs? Simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean, to make it simple. But it is worth it in the end. You can move mountains. That's what he said. Keeping it simple can be your best strategy in investing. Example, the folks who trade often focus on irrelevant data of the day, of the moment. They try to predict the unpredictable. That's a day trader. You can't, swing trader. The people who can think no one knows where the market's going to go. On a day-to-day basis, the stock market can go up or down. So what happens, those people think in the moment, get very unhappy surprises. So don't stay so focused in the moment. You know, take a look, make sure you're well diversified. Stand back, take a look at your portfolio as a whole. Keep it simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to do it. Keep it simple. Buy companies that have solid numbers, a solid business model, been around for a while, can maintain an advantage, have some kind of advantage, brand name or a product that's hard to duplicate for a competitor to compete with, stuff like that. That's what you want. Keep it simple. And that's InvestTalk 101. Do you have questions about organizing your portfolio, creating a plan, a strategy? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the big picture outlook. 888-99-CHART. Or you can click on Contact Steve at InvestTalk.com.
Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. That's the title of Steve's book, and it's a good answer to the question, how do I get started on my investing learning journey? Maybe this is a great gift idea for yourself. Look for the recommended books list on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, guys. I love your podcast. This is Paul from France. What do you think about new app called Robinhood? They say that you can invest. It's like a brokerage account, but it's zero fee, like really zero. No fees at all when you buy or sell stocks. So what do you think of that? Have you tried it? Do you think it's going to work? Thank you. Thank you for the show.
Number one, I've never heard of that. Number two, there's nothing for free. Okay. You're going to say, well, it's zero fees, no trading costs. No, there might not be any trading costs, but someone's making money off of your trade. Probably, I'll give you how they are probably doing it. They're probably making it on the spread, the bid and ask. So what's happening is you can buy a stock from this service, and they will sell it to you at a price. But they probably bought that stock at a much lower price, 10 cents, 5 cents per share, I don't know, whatever it is, and they're selling it to you at a higher price. They're making the spread. That's probably how they do it. I don't know for sure, but I can guarantee you that there's going to be a cost somewhere. Now, I can see a brokerage firm someday offering a no transaction fee trading, and sometimes it's possible as a marketing tool, but Yeah, you're going to have to, in this market right now, because I do a lot, I read a lot. I don't see anybody offering completely free trading. Doesn't exist. So just be careful. How are they making their money? That's the first question in your mind. If they're not making the money on the fees, how are they making the money? Are they making money holding the money? And see, many of these companies don't make any money holding the money. They make very little these days because the interest rates are so low. So how do they make the money? Everybody's not, they're not going to do, they don't, no one works for free. Nobody. Time for Invest Talk 101. Well, we already did all 101, so I don't need to do that. I'm messing up here. Let's talk about scary junk bonds. They've been falling since October. And I don't mean to scare you, but the last four market big downturns, stock market downturns, were led by the junk bonds falling first. Now, so it's not uncommon. It is common that the bond market falls before the stock market, and the junk bond market the last four times has been the leader. Now, be very careful, because other bonds, the quality bonds, they went up today. They're not falling. They're steady, flat. So it's not all the bond market, just the junk bond market. So when I say, the last four downturns have been led in the stock market, has been led by the junk bonds first, what about the overall bond market? So it's almost impossible to say for sure anything when it comes to the stock market. I can only give you statistics. I can give you history. And history tends to repeat itself. Tends to do so, but it doesn't always have to. 888-99-CHART. We'll go to Will in the Bay Area. Hi, Will. How you doing?
Hey, okay. I just wanted to get some insight, more insight, I guess. I kind of think I know what happens. But when the market goes down,
yes.
What is that mechanism? How does it really work?
Yeah. Now,
where is the money going? Say, for instance, I know where it goes for those who get out. They have it.
Uh-huh.
But they also lose a penny or two. But say, for instance, someone stays in, what happens to their money? Is that just a discounted thing, or how does that work?
Okay. Let's say you own a stock, and that's what we're talking about, right, Will?
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
stock is at $30 a share.
Mm-hmm.
And the stock goes down in price. It goes down to $20 a share. Where did that $10 go? Is that what your question is?
Yeah, and what causes it?
It's very simple. Let's say I owned a share of stock and you want to buy it. Mm-hmm. I paid $20 a share for this stock and you said, I want to buy it, but I'm only going to give you $19 a share. And mm-hmm. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to sell it to you for that. I want 20 or 21. You say, mm-hmm. no, you're going to pay me 19. And I then get nervous and get desperate and I sell it to you for $19 a share.
Mm-hmm.
That $1 disappeared. It vanishes. Mm-hmm. It's gone.
Right.
It doesn't go into anybody's pocket. It's just gone.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it just disappeared.
It's gone. So if the whole right. market goes down 20%,
mm-hmm.
that money just vanishes.
Right. And it's based on, that's what I thought, it's based on that dollar per dollar discount, either by leaving or bidding.
That's right.
Yeah.
The market is just nothing but an auction area.
Mm-hmm.
This person
mm-hmm.
says, I'll bid this. This person says, I want that. And mm-hmm. they come to an agreement or they don't. And the stocks mm-hmm. go up and down based on that. That's simple mm-hmm. as that.
So, yeah, and if I had all the money and you just kept saying, well, I don't care. And
exactly.
Eventually, I got to give you some.
Exactly. So eventually, you'll say, you know what? Let's say I have that $20 stock. And the stock gives you 10% income in dividends a year. The stock keeps growing its earnings forever. Mm-hmm. That stock has a value, but what that value is between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
You right. and I are deciding that. And you
yeah.
may decide, I'm not going to pay more than $10. Mm-hmm. And if I can't find anybody else and I need to sell it, that stock's mm-hmm. going to go down to $10 to sell it to you.
Right. Now, what if you just refuse to budge? If
then,
you're a holder,
then that means you have a locked market and nothing gets sold and nothing gets bought.
Right, yeah, and your stock will just sit there.
Just sit there. That's it.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Well,
and
appreciate
that's kind of what goes on with some stocks.
That's exactly what does. Yeah. Very small stocks, very much often just sit there. Good luck, Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As an InvestTalk insider, you now have access to InvestTalk resources that come straight from the desk of professional investors. That'd be me and Justin, really. And Jason, too, occasionally. The special watch lists are created to give investors an idea of the type of investments you can use to, you know, high dividend paying, REITs, whatever, different ones. The webinar, the archive is there. You can listen to it anytime you want, any of them. They're pretty broad, so they're always, there's things you can learn. And the chart lessons are designed to give investors an inside look at technical analysis. About, remember, we like fundamentals first. Fundamentals first. A company has to be growing, making money. Before you even consider it, you have to have those basic, great fundamentals. Then you can go look at a chart. A chart helps you understand where to buy, where to sell, where people tend to get out and get in, that kind of thing. It might give you a little bit better idea of when to buy something if you're going to buy it. So if you want to see all this and sign up for free, it's all free. You got to go to InvestTalk.com.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Albert in San Mateo. How you doing, Albert?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a question. I want to put some money away for my child's college education, and I'm looking at the 529 plan. Mm-hmm. I just want to know if that's the best way of doing it. She's really young.
How much money do you plan on putting away a year, Albert?
Ooh, that's not really set. It's going to be like 500 maybe now.
Then I would not suggest a 529 plan. There's two kinds of educational plans that you can do. You can do a 529 plan, which are state-sponsored plans for college only, okay? Accredited college only, not college for hair cutting or truck driver school, okay? A regular accredited college. And there's also what's called the Coverdell. And the reason why I asked how much money you wanted to put away, in a 529 plan, you could put up to $15,000 a year. In a Coverdell, you can put up to $2,000 a year.
All right.
Now, why would I want Coverdell over 529? Well, because there's different rules on these things. In a 529 program, they're sponsored by individual states. And were you planning on buying a California one? Because if you're in California, you can buy any one in any state you want.
Right.
Okay, you can buy Illinois, Florida, California. But what happens in most 529 plans, besides the fact that you can only spend the money on accredited colleges, you also have restrictions of what you can invest it in.
Right.
In a Coverdell, it's like an IRA, okay? You can start a Coverdell, and you can invest it in anything you want. And Coverdell, you can use it for that beauty school or truck driver school. You can use it for private high school.
Okay.
So, but you can't do it with a 529 plan. That's only for college.
I know Fidelity is the one for California 529. How would I go about getting a Coverdell?
Okay, you can go to anybody, Schwab, E-Trade, anybody, and say, I want to open up a Coverdell. They'll say, okay, here's the forms.
Okay.
Same thing. It's really simple. And then what you do is you start putting money in it, and then you decide what you want to invest. So go to any place you want. You can go to a bank. I would suggest, a discount broker. You can buy mutual funds. If you're going to buy mutual funds, Schwab have a program called Schwab One, which I like, is a very good vehicle. But you can buy ETFs from anybody, and I like those even better.
Does it have the same tax implications?
Exactly the same.
Great.
Thanks, Albert. Appreciate the call. Good question. Very good question. As we move into the final segment of the day, we welcome your question about any money matter. Maybe you have questions about analyzing something. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
From the InvestTalk production crew and all of the staff at KPP Financial, we wish you a happy and prosperous new year. And thanks for being part of our InvestTalk family.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Retail sales report came out for last month for November. Though the top line number was up 0.2%, which was in line with expectations, which is not a very good number. Not a very good number. But if you take automobiles and gasoline or gas out of the equation, retail sales were up 0.5%. Now, why would you take automobiles and gasoline out? Because when you're looking at retail sales, you really, what you're looking at is what is the consumer actually doing? The consumer has to buy gas. Has to. There's no issues there. And gasoline prices go up and down with the price of oil. So it really is not telling you anything about what the consumer is doing. Okay, he's got to buy gas, he or she. And the autos are big ticket items. So if you sell one, that's a huge price for a consumer that he paid a lot of money. So the spending on that auto is kind of misleading because they do it once and then they don't get a new car for a while. So you want, if you take those out and then you get a better look at what's really happening underneath the hood, so to speak. So that's what you're looking at. And it was up 0.5%, which is a pretty good number. Not a great number, but a pretty good number. And where did most of that 0.5% come from? It came from, again, in services. Services, not products. And products, you know, we have very little inflation. Products prices have not gone up. So they've been pretty much flat. David Fremont, how you doing, David?
I'm doing all right, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to ask you something. I believe you agree with me if I tell you that investing in properties, you know, real estate, you know, at some point is, you know, it's kind of painful going through, you know, vacancies and try to make this place to be in a market and rent it again.
Right.
And I was looking at getting the option and invest in stocks. And I read it the other day that investing in stocks, the returns is better than real estate. Are you agree with that?
Yeah, over long terms, yes, it is better than real estate. There's different kinds of risk, though. Real estate is much less risky, David, in the long run. Stocks are more risky. Therefore, there should be a better return in stocks, and there is over long periods of time.
I mean, I'm not in stocks. I mean, I don't know how that works, and I understand very little. I mean, there's companies out there that say, okay, we manage, you know, your portfolio just if you have a certain amount of money.
That's what we
do. And we can manage for you, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, you guys do, like, say, you guys buy and sell it on the right time. So,
yeah.
What you know,
we,
so the,
yeah, David, a money manager such as us, KPP Finance, that's our firm, you know, you allow us to trade your account. Basically, that's what's happening. And we will buy and sell mutual funds or stocks, depending on the kind of account you have and you want and how much money you have. We will manage your account for you. And you pay us a small quarterly fee to do that.
So you guys, let's say you guys have a stock, you guys like it, and you guys just purchase and that's what it is?
Yeah. We make the decisions of buying and selling for you. You just look at your account and make sure that no one's stealing your money. And the way to do that is you use an insured, SIPC, SIPC insured custodian, a company, a big company that's insured by our government, holds on the money. Therefore, if you do that, then a money manager can't get the money.
Like Bernie Madoff, that's what he did.
Yeah, he was a custodian of his client's money, so he just stole it. Don't do that.
Like me, I mean, you guys do that for a living. Yeah, I mean, you
That's
guys
right.
manage. I don't understand those charts, you know,
Most
what to buy,
don't,
when that to buy, you know, what price you should sell it. I mean, I tried that before, and I lost.
Yeah, most people.
I mean, I never made any money on stocks.
I hate to say this. Most people try it. And we know, Justin and I and my firm, we know they're not probably going to be successful. We'll be happy to teach you, but it takes so much work, David. It takes a lot of time and effort. You know,
and knowledge, not just that. You can try and try all you want, but if you don't really have the knowledge and the expertise to really understand a lot that goes on in the markets, not just about specific companies, but the economy in general, different types of assets and things like that.
And so that's why you hire people like us. It's as simple as that. Dave, if you want to talk about it, give me a call at the office or send me an email, and I'll talk about it and tell you how we do it and what we do.
Definitely. I would like to, because, I mean, I already have two properties, the rental, and I know it's a pain in the rear. And, you know, I would like to.
They are a pain.
I don't know. There's something else besides that.
Yeah, I've had rentals for many, many years. They are a pain, I must say. David, give me a call. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Our hour's up. Remember, you can see a long list of books that we recommend to help you gain knowledge and perspective about managing money and investing. Maybe there's a gift idea there. Just look for the recommended books on InvestTalk.com. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we want you to have a great weekend, and thank you for listening.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.